Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Samach Gimel and Aleph with the two dots. Gemara is continuing to discuss the seven simanim that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Over here it says, Ezehu Rog Tafel. What is this spittle, which the Mishnah described as being saliva that had been there overnight, and person had not tasted anything, had not had any food to eat? Tana. Koshalo tam klum mi ba'erif. The explanation of this is someone who did not eat the evening before. Sava Rav Papa kamed Rav Rava. Rav Papa suggested to Rava, the Meimar, command Amar lo tam mide ba'orta. Sounds like he didn't eat anything the night before. So Amar le Rava, miktani ba'erif. It doesn't say that he didn't eat anything at night, like you were saying, Shaul, but mi ba'erif ktani. It says that he hasn't eaten since the nighttime. It comes to exclude a case where he got up early in the morning and ate before the sun rose. So the idea being that he did eat dinner like everybody else, but then after he went to sleep, after dinner, then he did not wake up in the morning and eat prior to the sun rising. And that's what we're describing over here. Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Rok Tafel, Kol Shavar Lav Chatzot Alayla, Ubishena. Basically, the cutoff point would be midnight. So as long as he's at midnight sleeping, and when he arises in the morning, he hasn't eaten anything. So basically, he's been fasting since midnight the night before, all the way until the morning. L'memra d'bishena talya milta. It sounds from this, or from the statement of Rabbi Barchano, that sleep is an integral part of this Rok Tafel. Vatanan. And we have a Mishnah, or others, Vatanya, we have a Braita. Eshan kol hayom. He slept all day. Ain't ze Rok Tafel. Sleeps all day, it's not considered to be Rok Tafel. Neor kol halayla. If he's up all night, are ze Rok Tafel. That is considered Rok Tafel. So night has an impact on this Rok Tafel and not sleep. Mar says, Hatam bitnam nim. The case over there is that it has to be both, basically. It has to be nighttime and also sleep. But when we're talking about that he's ne'ur kol halayla, we're not suggesting that he really was up all night. What we're suggesting is that he was dozing off during the night. He didn't fall into a full sleep. Hechidam bitnam nim. What's the definition of dozing off at night? Amravashi, nim velo nim, tir velo tir. He's asleep but awake, but he's not totally in a slumber. Tosafot describes over here, nim velo nim means at the beginning of the process of dozing off, that he's only partially dozing off. Tir velo tir is at the termination, at the end of his dozing off, that he's also still in a state of stupor, that he's not completely aware. The Karele, if you call the name, only he answers. If you ask him something more complex, and you ask him to give some logic behind something, that he won't do. But if you remind him of that logic, or that understanding, he would be able to acknowledge that. So that's the status, or the state of being, what we're talking about when it's talking about dozing off. Tano, hishkim vishana pirko. He got up early in the morning, and he reviewed his learning. Ein ze rok tafel. That's no longer considered to be Rok Tafel. Vad kamo. How much does that have to be? I'm Rav Yehuda bar Shila, I'm Rav Ashi, I'm Rabbi Elazar, Koshi, Yatza, Rov, Diburo, Shel Shlosh Shaot. If he did for about 3 hours, the majority of the 3 hours he was reviewing his learning, then it's no longer considered to be Rok Tafel. So as Rashi explains over here, what we've now set up here is that it has to be at night, it has to be that he is sleeping, and it has to be that he is both fasting and not really speaking. And that's because Rashi says, Lefisha Shena Mimareret et Arok. Sleep causes the saliva to be more bitter, Umachazakto, and it strengthens it. Ochel being the opposite, food, sweetens it and takes away the potency of the saliva. That's number one. And Rashi says the same thing with Dibur, which is a Dibur Marvir Koach Arok. As one speaks, that phlegm and saliva that's in the mouth is weakened by the process of speaking. When you first wake up, that type of saliva that you have in your mouth is much more potent, and it has the properties that we're looking for. Once one has either eaten or spoken, then it loses those properties. And so therefore we come to this definition that it has to be at night, has to be when he's fasting, has to be when he is sleeping or dozing off, and it has to be prior to his reviewing his learning in the morning. Now, the next thing that we have in the Mishnah is Mei Grisin Lisat Grisim Shel Pul. Talking about here, the liquid that comes out of the grits of beans, where he chews them, and by chewing these shelled beans, that's where he creates this liquid. Lema Mesaile the Reish Lakish. Let's say that this part of the Mishnah helps the position of Reish Lakish. Damar Reish Lakish, Rok Tafel, Tzarich She'eh Im Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Rok Tafel is not an independent ingredient, but rather an overarching ingredient. It's an ingredient that is included with every other ingredient. That sounds like over here, that this Rok Tafel, Mei Grisim, is something you chew. So why are they chewing it? Because in order to have the Rok Tafel, in order to have the saliva mix with the Mei Grisin, you chew on it. So then maybe that's a proof to Rav Reish Lakish's position that two come together in each instant. Where it says, no, Dilma Havlu Tepuma Amale. Maybe the heat of the mouth is what helps with this Mei Grisin. this liquid of the beans after they're chewed, instead of just crushing them, when you chew it in the mouth, that heat of the mouth or the breath that comes out, whatever it is positive or add to the efficacy of this liquid that it comes here. And therefore, we tell him to put it in his mouth, nothing to do with the saliva or the roch tefel. Now, the Gemara makes a second statement, which is, Matnitan to look Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is definitely not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but bright Rabbi Yehuda says, Mei grisin roteach ve'over she'iten l'tochu melach. That the Mei grisin have to be boiled. They have to be a state where they're being boiled. And it has to be prior to when you put the salt in them. Because salting them will weaken the potency of these Mei grisin. So it has to be in the point where it reaches the boiling. But before you add the salt. And the word over here, the Gemara is going to define in 1 second, means prior. So it means that it's boiling prior to putting in the salt. Obviously, if it requires it to be boiling, that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says that it just chews in his mouth and the havel of the peh, that the heat of the mouth is sufficient. You don't need to boil them. So now the Gemara digresses to discuss exactly what you pointed out, Shaul. This over that I said means prior, that is similar to the terminology that's used in other places, which is over li'asiyatan, which means that you must make the bracha prior to doing the mitzvah. My mashma dahai over lishna de akdumehu. How do you know this word over really means prior to? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Damar Kro. Gemara is going to bring a number of psukim. One of them in Shmuel Bet. Vayratz achimatz derech hakikar v'yavur et hakushi. Here is to bring the news of the death of Avshalom to David. Kushi goes out and achimatz overtake the kushi and he gets to David first to report the news. So v'yavur means that he came before him, that he preceded them in reaching David. Abaya amar mihocha. And that's by Yaakov Avinu when he's meeting Esav. Over there it says that Yaakov went in front of the family. He passed in front of everyone else, so he preceded them. The other example is from Micha, where their Malkam goes before them, Hashem Berosham, that the king precedes them and Hashem is at the head. But again, all of these cases you see the word Avar being someone who precedes or goes in front of. So to over here, when we talk about over means preceding or before the time she'iten l'tochu melach, before he puts salt in. And that's the same is true by over le'asiyatan when talking about mitzvot. You must make the bracha over le'asiyatan means you make the bracha prior to doing the mitzvah. All right. And next is mera glaim she'chmitzu. Is urine that has fermented. Tana kamech imutzan. What does it mean to ferment or have putrid mera glaim urine? Shloshet yamim. Has to be around for 3 days. So this statement of Yochanan basically presents us with the modern day problem, which is that all the shiurim, all these things that we're mentioning now in the Gemara, and they're already qualifying what was in the Mishnah, we still need more interpretation of what they're saying, because they only defined a certain amount. They said, the Mishnah says we need urine that is fermented. The Gemara defines for us that means 3 days. Now Rabbi Yochanan is going to pose a series of questions about this urine, which we don't have answers to. The yelid of the zaken, is it from a young person or from an older person? The isho isha, is it from a male or a female? Michusim o migulim, should they be kept covered or should they be left exposed? Bimota chama, should it be in the summertime? Oh, bimota gshamim, or in the wintertime? As Rashi points out, that the potency of urine will differ based on age, heat, time period. Rashi says that the zaken has much more potent urine. Same is true if you cover it. Same is true in the summertime. So all of these things, we don't have answers to these questions. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that today we can't use these 7 simaminim. We can't do this. Number one, we don't know what they are exactly. And even if we did know what we are, we have the same problem that Rabbi Yochanan points out, which is that every shiur that's given here needs an additional shiur to determine what exactly was meant by the Chachamim statement. Bitzarech the kaskes shalosh pi'amim. You have to rub them together. When you take the clothing, you rub them together like you do when you launder clothing by hand. You rub the two parts of the beged together. It said there you have to do it 3 times. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, Amtuye ve'atuye echad, is back and forth count as one? Oduma amtuye ve'atuye tarte, or maybe back and forth is considered to be 2. My, what's the deal with this? Teiku, we leave this as a teiku. We saw this earlier in the beginning of Menachot with regards to the shaking of a lulav. There, and all the Rishonim discussed this issue with the Yerushalmi. They bring a Yishalmi that discusses the same question in regards to Lulav. When we say that you have to be Menanea the Lulav, what is considered to be the 3 times your Menanea? The same question that is raised here by Nida, is it back and forth? Or does it mean each direction is considered to be 1? Do you have to go 1, 2, 3 and you're done? Or is it back and forth is 1, and then again is 2, and then again is 3? So that is the Rishonim deal with this. They're all machmir for this issue where we go back and forth 3 times. Discussed that when we did this sugya of Neinua Lulav in Menachot. Hiviran Shalokit Sidran. if he puts the ingredients on or the laundering materials on out of order, they're not efficacious. Tarabanan hikdim shniim lirishonim. If he brought the second set before the first set, tani chada, we have one brayta that says shniim alulo, rishonim lo alulo, that the second ones work, but the first ones don't. Tanidach, and we have another brayta that says rishonim alulo, that the first ones work, shniim lo alulo. Amrabai, idi v'idi, everyone agrees that shniim alulo. So for instance, if he did 3-4 in the order of the ingredients, and then 1-2. So when he does 3-4, the 3-4 out of order, they're clearly not efficacious here. What they have is the 1-2. Now when you do the 1-2, can you now go 1-2 and then 3-4? Does that 1-2 count? And what Rabbi is saying is that everybody agrees that the 1-2 works now. So if you did 3-4 and then 1-2, that 1-2 is in order, and now you can continue on from the 1-2. Same would be true if you did 3-4-5-6. If you did the 5-6 before the 3-4, then when you did the 3-4 afterwards, you can continue on with the 3-4. Velo rishonim. So everybody agrees here that first ones are out of order and they don't work. Umay rishonim. So then how do we explain the two braitot? Rishonim is rishonim the kisidram. Ushniim the havaratan. According to the braita that says that the second ones work and the first ones don't, that works well according to Abai. The other braita, which has the opposite, he says, well, you don't understand what rishonim and shniim mean there. Rishonim mean rishonim the kisidram. Means the first ones that should have been in order. And shniim means the second ones, the ones that were out of order, the ones that you passed by because they were out of order. So all he does is change the definition of the words rishonim and shniim and the other braita to have both braitot say the same thing, which is those that were out of order are meaningless. But once you've started the order again, you can continue on from that because those that are in order are the new start. They're not affected by those that came before them. All right, next Mishnah. So this is an important Mishnah, both because we saw a Mishnah similar to this earlier in the Masechta, but also because it's one of the fundamental halachot inside of Nida, which is Kol Isha Sheyesh La Veset Dayashata. Any woman who has a fixed cycle, then we saw this earlier, Dayashata, then she only has to worry about when she hits that fixed cycle. Now the Mishnah here is going to give examples of what that is, and it's different than the examples we saw earlier in the Masechta. Ve'elu heina vesdot. These are the vestot that you can have. Now these are words, I'll come back and translate them in 1 second, which is Mefaheket, Me'ateshet, V'choshesheshet, B'pikrisa, U'b'shublei me'eha, U'shofat, U'kemins marmorot, O'chzinota. In any of these items, which these are all physiological items that affect the woman. If she has these, V'chen kiyotzeb, anything similar to this, and then she has a sighting of her dam and her veset comes about, these can set up what we call a veset kavua. They can set up a fixed cycle based on some physiological change in the woman. And any time that she establishes this, really should be shalosh piamim, then that is classified as a veset. So now, let's go back and interpret what these things are. So first of all, mifaheket. Rashi says mifaheket is who adam shepushete virav. It's when a person stretches out, when stretches themselves. So that's the way Rashi interprets it. On the other hand, Tosfot says ein nira. But rather, he says that it's gabi piheik v'meit. It's similar to what we saw in Shabbat, who used to be piheik, and then they died. So now that could mean a number of things. One of them is it could mean to yawn, could mean to hiccup. That's the modern definition of the word piheik. Or it could also mean to sneeze. So one of those three is the possibility, an alternative to Rashi's interpretation of stretching out. Umeateshet. Now the modern day meateshet means to sneeze. On the other hand, Tosafot brings an alternative explanation. He rejects Rashi's explanation. And he brings from the Aruch, that's a kol yotzei min ha-garon. It's a burp, or a belch. There are others that say it's even passing gas. Now, v'choshesheh b'pikrisa, pikrisa means that she has some sort of stomach ache. She gets pains in her upper stomach. U'b'shublei mea, or lower in the intestines or in the bowels, she gets pain beforehand. Shufat, she has some sort of flow. U'kemins marmorot. Now, marmorot are like chills or shivering. That's the modern day word means something along that, like goosebump. So those are the different physiological changes that you would see in the woman that can create this cycling. The Rosh comments on this and mentions that there are many interpretations, and he says, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're all right. That all these explanations happen to be right, and they're all included in these words in the Mishnah. I'll just say that Piheik and Giheik, which are words that are used in the Gemara Brachot, seem to be involuntary types of items. And Me'ateshet over here can mean to sneeze or to pass gas, which is one of them is involuntary, one's voluntary. So you have to take into consideration how they're used in other places in Shas, and that's why the Rishonim are arguing about what the exact definitions of these words are. So now the Gemara says, Tanina Chada Zimna. As I mentioned before, this is something we saw before, which is Kol Shisha Sheyesh La Veset Dayashata. That's something that is not the first time we bumped into this. We had this already at the beginning of the Masechta. So my answer is that's not a problem. Hatam bevestot diyomei hacha bevestot de gufa. There's a difference between the calendarical vestot and the physiological vestot. You have certain things that are driven by time. These are women that see on a fixed cycle of time based on the calendar. And then you have those women that see it based on a physiological manifestation. Their body gives some indication of the fact that they are going to be a nida. Kediktani, like it says here, Elohein vestot. So then all of these items are items that are physiological. Now the Gemara stops for a second and says, Shofat? If she has a flow of blood, hashafa v'azla. What do you mean? How's that a sign of nida if she's having a flow of blood beforehand? She's already a nida. How's that a sign of nida? Amar ula brei de Rabbi Eloi, we're talking about here a case where b'shofat dam tamei mitoch dam tohor. She has some sort of discharge of liquid or mucus before she begins to see her dam nida. We know that she could have a flow that's not the color of dam that would make her tamei. So she has some sort of flow or some sort of bodily motion or that takes place that indicates that she will have the dam tamei, that the dam nida will come. But the shofat is not describing that she's already having dam nida already coming prior to that. It's describing this physiological indication that she will have dam tamei that follows. Okay, gemins mar moro tena yotze behen. Now, what's v'chena yotze behen? Letuye mai. What are the things that are similar to this? Samar Rabbi Barula letuye ishash rosha kavir aleha v'vra kvedim aleha. A woman who feels heavy, heavy-headed, limbs feel heavy. She has a sense in her body that this is coming to her. V'rotacha v'rotetet v'gosa. And she is shaking and feeling gosa. What was the definition of that? That makes a lot of sense. All right. That makes sense. Gosasu yawns or some nausea or any other of the other many, some of the manifestations that were mentioned in the Mishnah before. Samaruna brachia amar shmuel. Hari amru li yamim shnayim. In order to establish a vestot 4 days, you have to have 2 sightings. Levestot achat. For those that are mentioned in our Mishnah, those are the physiological ones, you only need once. Lema shalom manu chachamim. Anything that's not listed by the Chachamim, shlosha, then you need it 3 times. So now, what's lema shalom manu chachamim? Latuye mai. What are things that are not listed by the Chachamim? Amar Rav Yosef, latuye rosha kaved alea, ve'evera kavedim alea, v'rotetet, or rotachat, v'gosa. Just the example that we just said before. So I'm like, bye, my kamash malon. Matnitani, how could you say that that's not something that the Chachamim mentioned? That was included, based on what we just said now, that was included in the Mishnah. That's when it says, v'chein kol yotzeb, and this is included in the Mishnah. Da pirsha Rabba Barula, because Rabba Barula explained to us that that's what it means in the Mishnah when it says Chen Yotzehen. Lamara Bayle Atuye Achla Shum Virata. She ate garlic and then she had a sighting. Va'achla Bitzalim, or she ate onions. Virata. Kitsisa Pilpilim. She chewed on some peppers. Virata. So Amar Rav Yosef. Lo Shmili Hashmatata. I never heard such a thing. And we know again that Rav Yosef was sick. We saw this early in Masechta. His student Abaye had learned with him beforehand, and even after he was sick, he then recovered, and Rav Yosef relearned all of his Torah, and Abaye many times would remind Rav Yosef what he had said prior to being sick and forgetting his Torah. So the same thing over here. Rav Yosef says, I never heard of such a thing. And then Amar Leh Abaye, Atamitoni Alan, what do you mean? You're the one who told us this. That's how I know it. Baha Amritoni Alan, you told us this, and you said it on this part of the sugya. Haitali mudal liot ro'a yom chamisha asar, if she normally saw on the 15th. Vishintali yom esrim. And then instead, this time she sees on the 20th. Ze v'ze asurin. They're both problematic. Shalosh pi'amim liyom esrim, hutar yom chamisha asar, v'kavala yom esrim. If she sees 3 times, she no longer has to worry about the 15th because she's eliminated the old cycle, and now she started a new cycle for seeing on the 20th instead of the 15th. She'eni gisha kovat aveset ad shetekvana shalosh pi'amim. Woman cannot set a cycle until she's sighted 3 times. A cycle is determined by 3. V'amart lan ala. And you said to us on this work, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rav Gamliel, Barabish, Amar Mishum Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel is the one who believes that you can only establish a chazakah after 3 times. So therefore, in order to set the vestet, you need to see 3 times. Chamim Omrim, Rata, Ina Tzricha, Lo Lishnot, Velo Lishalish. If she has a sighting, she doesn't have to see it twice. She doesn't have to see it 3rd time. And we said to you, wait a minute. You said she doesn't have to see it a 2nd time. Then why are you talking about a 3rd time? You explained to us the difference. You don't need to have it twice by vestot, which is mentioned in our Mishnah. For the physiological vestot, you only need to have 1 sighting, not a 2nd sighting. And for the time-bound sightings. You only have to have two sightings. You don't have to have a third sighting. Because they hold like Rabbi. Rabbi believes a chazaka can be set in two times. V'neima zu divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why don't you just say to us that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who we know believes that a chazaka can be established only after three times, not after two times. What's this whole business of saying zu divrei Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi shamar mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Why are you adding all of that in? Kamash malon Shmuel, Shmuel's teaching us that Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel severely, that Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it's just telling us additional Tanaim that subscribe to that position of Shimon Gamliel, that a chazaka can only be established after three times. So the statement, the original statement that we had from Ravuna Bar Chia Amar Shmuel, that you can establish a chazaka for Yamim after two times, that's based on Rabbi. Rabbi who says a chazaka is enough in two times. Now, if it's not mentioned here in the Mishnah, then you require three times. Even according to Rabbi who says a chazaka can be established after two times, why is that? So Tosfot points out why that is. You look in Tosfot, Achlo Shum V'Rata, Ho, V'Yedei Ma'asehim, Enu Vesed Gamur, V'Lav V'Bichlal D'Metniton. Because these are items that are not real signs of a Veset. They're not physiological or calendrical types of sightings. They're something where she has to actively do something. She has to eat something and then create the Veset. So that, even Rabbi agrees, you'll have to wait three times to establish such a Veset. You would not suffice with having two times. Now, also a point out here with the physiological ones, when we said that even one time with the physiological signs, that's enough to establish this, Tosfot points out that it's not enough to yawn once and to sneeze once, and then she has her cycle. That doesn't mean anything. When we talk about yawn and sneeze, we're talking about a number of times that she yawns and sneezes. It has to be that there's some sort of indication that this is a series of an item, and that series of an item that over a duration of time is an indication that it's coming, that the nidah is coming. It can't be that you have one sneeze and all of a sudden, right, that's an indication that's a nidah. One of his proofs is from the next Gemara coming up, the Mishnah that's coming up, which seems to indicate that by the Vestot, you can see in the beginning of a Veset and the end of the Veset. If you only sneeze once, then you can't, there's no beginning or end of Veset. So the beginning and end of Veset must be determined by a series of things happening in order to indicate that it's coming. And then you could talk about beginning and end of Veset. Okay, the next Mishnah says, if she was, and this is what I just mentioned, that if she normally saw at the beginning of her veset, any tarot that she does during that time period is classified as tmeot. If she normally sees at the beginning of that cycling period where she normally gets her veset, then anything she does during that part of the cycle, that is considered to be tmeot. Why? Because if she sees in the beginning, then it's clear that anything that happened during that period of time, she's already had the sighting. Besova vestot, if she normally sees at the end of this whole process, then kol terot she'asta betocha vestot terot, then anything she does during that period of time is considered to be terot. So if she sneezes 100 times and then she has this sighting, well, if she normally sneezes 100 times at the tail end of that, she has a sighting, then while she's sneezing, all the terot she does is fine. If she sneezes 100 times, and then somewhere in the beginning of those sneezing process, she starts to have the sighting of the nidah, then any tarot she does during the sneezing process will be problematic. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af yamim v'sha'ot. Even days and hours make a difference over here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af yamim v'sha'ot vestot. Even days and hours are classified as part of the vestot. I tell the mudali wrote, be'im neitzachama, she normally sees at sunrise, in asura l'im neitzachama, then she's only asura when she reaches neitzachama. The whole day is hers. The Gemara will come back and discuss these positions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and explain to us what they mean. What does it mean when Rabbi Yossi says that days, hours are classified as vestot? So Haitali Mudali wrote, Biyom Esrim, Yom Esrim, if she normally saw every 20th of the month, and even on the 20th day, she sees at the 6th hour. Higia yom esrim v'lo ra'ata, if she reaches the 20th day and doesn't have any sighting, asura l'shamesh kol sheish sha'ot rishonot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, until, from the time the sun rises on that day, until 6 hours, until midday, she's not allowed to be together with her husband, because she normally sees at the midday, at the 6th hour of the day. Rabbi Yossi matir ad sheishot. Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute, she doesn't see until the 6th hour, why should she be asura to her husband until the 6th hour? Only starting the 6th hour will there be a problem. And the only time she has to worry is for the 6th hour itself. Avru sheishot, once the 6th hour passes, she didn't see anything. Asura l'shemesh kol yom kolo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, if she didn't see anything, she's still restricted for the remainder of the day. Rabbi Yossi matir min ha'mincha l'malo. Because it says she reached mincha and onward, then she is permitted to be with her husband. Rashi says over here, that's Hainu Meshesha Oto Lamala. When is Mina Mincha Lamala? It's from 6 hours onward. When is Mincha start? Mincha starts at noontime. And since it starts at noontime, that means from 6 hours and on. That means the only time she has to worry about it is at the sixth hour itself. Prior to that, according to Rabbi Yossi, she doesn't have to worry about it. Post that, she doesn't have to worry about it. As long as she checked during the sixth hour, nothing happened. That's the only time she needs to worry about it. Tosafot mentions that in a number of places in Shas, both in Tamid and Nishchat, which is in Psachim, as well as in Perek HaMemuneh, in Yoma, the Gemara discusses the fact that we don't daven Mincha right at noontime. That we actually only daven Mincha starting at 12:30, 6.5 hours into the day. So there are different reasons given for that. One of them is, and Tosafot mentioned that over here, that we're not bikiyim b'shaot. We're not perfect with the shaot. And therefore we wait until 6.5 hours to be sure that we're ready into the afternoon and that we're into the Mincha time. And Ochanami, that really from the sixth hour would be sufficient. But since we are not perfect at getting these times, we wait until 6.5 hours in order to start the Zman HaMincha. And Tosafot says that the Veset Nami Asura Chatzi Sha Ashvit, that the same would be true here. By the Veset, you'd have to wait until from 6 hours to 6.5 hours, again, to be sure that she's crossed over the 6 hour, according to Rabbi Yossi. And the same would apply over here. Others mention the reason, and the Gemara says in other places, that the walls of the Mikdash were very thick, and therefore the sun did not cast a shadow until it crossed over the 6.5 hours, until it passed a half an hour into the 7th hour. Then only then did the sun start to tip to the side, and that's Michinantu Tzolei Erev, that when is it called Mincha, is when the Erev, when the evenings begin, and that's already when the sun starts to move to a side, cast shadows to another side. And that's only true after you cross over the 6.5 hours, not from the 6 hours itself. But either way, Tosafot says that it's not enough for just to check right at the 6th hour, you have to wait that half an hour period, the same half an hour period that we wait between the midday and the beginning of Zman HaMincha at 12:30 or 6.5 hours into the day. So now basically what we have here is Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if she normally sees it midday, she's a surah from that morning all the way till midday, and then if she can't find it and she doesn't see it that day, she's still a surah until the remainder of the day. She's a surah that whole day. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, she's basically a surah just for the time that she needs to check, that 6th hour, and she could have said that. Tosafot says that they didn't say it that way because of Rabbi Yehuda. Just had Rabbi Yossi's opinion in Ochanami, that's what they would have done. They would have just said, 6th hour, check, and otherwise she is completely muteret to her husband. So now, Haitadli Muda. Vatanyo, don't we have a bright? Rabbi Yehuda Mer Kola Laila Shela, that the entire night is hers. Yet, in the Mishnah over here, it says that Rabbi Yehuda says, Kola Yom Shela, the whole day is hers. Lokasha, ha, the Regila Lirot Bitchilat Yom Mama. The question is, when does she normally see? If she normally sees at the beginning of the day, or is it the case when she normally sees at the end of the night? So our Mishnah is talking about a case where she sees at the end of the night. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where she's a surah to her husband is in the nighttime prior to that time when she should see the Veset until the end of the night. But as soon as sun rises on the next day, she's mutera to her husband because now you're into the next onah, into the next period. On the other hand, if she normally has sightings during the daytime, then she is a surah that entire day. But once nightfall comes, she is muteret. So the difference between the Mishnah and the Braita are about when exactly she sees around sunrise. If she sees prior to sunrise, when it's the end of the evening, then we'll say the evening is problematic, the daytime is fine. That's our Mishnah. In the case where she sees right after sunrise, she sees during the day, that the daytime will be problematic, the subsequent night will be fine, and that's what the Braita is speaking about. Tani chada Rabbi Yehuda osra lifnei vesta, umatira lachar vesta. We have one Braita that says, Rabbi Yehuda says she is problematic before her veset, and then after her veset, she is muteret. Vetani yidach, we have another Braita, osra lachar vesta, umatira lifnei vesta. Says she's problematic after her veset, but beforehand, she is fine. Kasha, ad regila lemechse besof leilia, ad regila lemechse betchilat yomama. The same distinction that we drew before, that if she normally sees at the end of the night, then prior to her veset, she is problematic. Once she crosses over her veset, she's then moving into daytime, which is a new onah, and she'll be fine. So beforehand, she's problematic. Afterwards, she's muteret. And the other way around, if she sees immediately after sunrise, she sees in the beginning of the day, over there, she will be a surah afterwards. Prior to that, she's fine, because that was nighttime, was the onah before. But in the onah that it happens in, there she has the problem. That's only after, for that whole day, which is really after she has the sighting. Amarova alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The woman is poresh for the entire onah. Meaning that whether it's prior or after, it's that entire 12-hour period in when she normally has the sighting. It's at nighttime, that entire night is problematic, the 12-hour period of night. If it's during the day, then that whole 12-hour period of daytime will be problematic. Doesn't matter when in the day she sees it. It'll be the entire period until that point where she sees it, and the entire period after that until she completes the day. And the same is true at night. Umi Omar Rova Hochi. Did Rova really say this? That the only thing that is problematic is the time period in which she says the sighting? Vatanya Vabraita, Vizartim et Bnei Yisrael Mitum Atam, Mikanam Ramar Rabbi Yirmiya. That's in the context of Dava Benidata. So therefore, we're talking about Tumata Nida. It says that a person should be careful to separate themselves from the Tumah of Nida. Mikan Amar, Rabbi Yirmiya, or the other Girsaot in other parts of the Shas, is Rabbi Yoshia. Azhara li Bnei Yisrael, Shifishum in Ishotem, Samuch Levestan. This is a charge to Bnei Yisrael that they should separate from their wives close to the time period when they have their Veset. So not only do they have to separate during that time of the Veset, but they have to separate close, even beforehand. Vikamo, how much is that? Amarova, Ona. And some have a Girsa here of Amarabo, Ona. That's one period. Ona, again, is 12 hours, either day or nighttime, but 12 hours. My love, Ona, Chuite, it sounds like you have to separate the Ona prior. Not only in the Ona where you have the sighting, but even the Ona prior to that. Lo, the Gemara says, no, Oto Ona. And therefore now, this statement in the Braita that we just brought, as well as Rava's Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, now turn out to be the same thing, which is that the restriction here, or the necessity to separate from one's wife, is only in the Ona, in the period where she normally sights. It's in that 12-hour period when she normally has this sighting. Retarte Lamali, why don't you need to tell me this twice? So now we're saying Alochas Kreb Yehuda, plus we have the Braita saying the exact same thing. But now the way that we've reinterpreted the Braita, Hava Amino, if you only had told me this, I would have thought, Hani Mila de Tarot, I would have thought that the din that Rava is saying Alochas Kreb Yehuda is only in the din in Tarot. When it comes to the husband, then no. Kamash Malon, that even by the husband, we have the same din. V'imehai, had I just had the din from the Braita, hava mina samuch levesta ona achrite, I would have thought that, what does it mean, samuch levesta? Means an additional la. Kamash Malon, that just like the aloha is like Behuda, that's what we mean here. This ona means that exact ona. And the aloha, that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The din is that we separate from the woman, if she has a fixed veset, in the ona where she should normally see. That is, in the 12-hour period, when she would normally see. How to distribute that 12 hours is a good question. We over here, according to the way the Gemara lays it out, it seems to be that 12-hour period is either daytime or nighttime. It's just that fixed 12 hours. It doesn't matter how it distributes. It could be 2 hours before, 10 hours after, or 10 hours before, 2 hours after. In the Mekorot that I sent out, you can see the different opinions about different permutations of how the Ona will lay out, depending if the woman sees or has sighting over multiple days, multiple hours, as well as the issue of Sha'ot Zmaniyot. In addition, there's also a very interesting tshuva from the Noda Behuda, as well as the Chatam Sofer, that says that even though we believe that Vestot are Derabanan, or the majority of Rishonim believe that Vestot are Derabanan, nevertheless, the requirement to separate from one's wife in the Ona, that she is supposedly going to have her Veset, might still be a Din De'oraita. So even though we believe Vestot Rabbanan, that there might still be this limud that we brought from the Baraita might still apply as a din d'oraita. There are others like the Beit Yosef who believe that it's an asmacha, and the whole thing is a din d'rabbanan, both Vestot Rabbanan as well as the separating in the Ona when you expect to have that sighting. In addition to that, there's something called the Chumra of Or Zarua. The Or Zarua says that we should not only separate in the Ona then which she has the sighting, but even the Ona prior. That's what's known as the Chumra of the Or Zarua, or the Ona of the Or Zarua, which is not only do we separate in the Ona the 12-hour period in which she knows has the sighting, but even in the 12 hours prior to that. Taz brings down that his father-in-law, the Bach, said that we should be machmir for the Shita of the Or Zarua. Taz says, I don't understand that. Especially if Vestot are Derabanan, that we should go to Kula, why would we be machmir like the Or Zarua? So the Minag Yom is different. Some people are makpid on this, and others are not. And each person, according to the minhag of his family, or the minhag that his rav prescribes for him. Okay, we'll stop over here.